Good morning and welcome back to Nach Yomi. Today we are learning Shir HaShirim, Perek Gimel, the third chapter of the book of Shir HaShirim. And once again, a reminder that Shir HaShirim is a conglomeration of a lot of micro Shirim, a lot of micro songs which are sewn together in a particular order. In our Perek, which is made up of 11 psukim, there are two micro Shirim, two micro songs. We're going to take a look at each of those. The first song is in Psukim Aleph to Hey, the first half of the Perek. In this, let's take a look at it as we have been doing up till now, from three perspectives. The perspective of Pshat, basic meaning, the historical context, understanding what it means historically, and then Drash, perhaps some aspects of the deeper meaning of what it is. So in this first song, Psukim Aleph to Hey, it describes there seems to be this type of dream. She's lying, the Raya, is the young lady is lying, Al Mishkovi Balelos, Bikashti es Shavona, Shivikashti Velo Metzasiv. Seems like she's dreaming, or she's thinking about her beloved. She's trying to find him, but she cannot find him. And she describes how she searches everywhere for him. She goes to the marketplaces, whether this be physically or in her mind, and she goes, Vashava Ba'ir, Vashavakim, Varachavois, Avakshois, Shavona, Shivikashti Velo Metzasiv. I cannot find him. And then I was found by the gods who are circulating around the city, and I asked them if they've seen him. They don't seem to answer, and then suddenly she finds her beloved, and she describes how Kimat Shavartim Achamotsosi es Shavanashi, I found my beloved. She grabs onto him, Achaztiv Veloyarpenu. She grasps onto him and will not let him go, and she brings him back, El Beis Imi, El Cheder Horasi, to the house of her mother, to the place of her own birthing. And then she turns to the gods of Yerushalayim, or to the Benos Yerushalayim, and she turns to them and she swears to them again that ultimately that she has this connection to Es Shavanashi Ad Shetechpatz, that there's no way to break this bond with her beloved. It's interesting to note that as opposed to the previous areas in Shir HaShirim, she describes her beloved not by the term of Dod, but rather by the term of Es Shavanashi. That's the term which appears four times, the one who my soul loves. It seems to be that at the end she has to reiterate that same oath she made in the previous parak, that same oath that she is now reinforcing her relationship that other people don't seem to understand or understand the uniqueness with her beloved. What exactly is the house of her mother, the place of her birthing? So the Da'at Mikra Rav Mos Chacham makes a very tenable suggestion that what she's essentially doing is she's saying she wants to be a mother, she wants to build a family with him, and that's perhaps the perspective that's going on over here. Let's dig a little deeper. What's the historical perspective here? It sounds like this is the night for the nation of Israel. The night is a time where they're not united. They've rejected the overtures of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as we saw in the end of the previous perek, subtly. And now they're searching. Knesset Israel, the nation of Israel, are searching for Hashem and they can't find him. And ultimately they search everywhere, the streets, the marketplaces around the city. They're found by the gods. Nobody seems to care. And finally, redemption comes, and she's able to, Israel finds their Creator, their Almighty. In terms of the Drash, the Cheder Imi, the chambers of Hora Asi, of the place where she was born, says the Chida, that refers to, it's actually, if you reconfigurate the letters, quoting Rabbeinu Ephraim, it reads, Chedrei Torah, the rooms, the chambers of Torah, meaning the reunification is that at night she's been separated from her beloved, or the ideas of her beloved. The way of returning is ultimately to return to the ideas which unite the two of them. That is the Chedrei Torah. The Metzudos points out that it refers to the historical transition in the Dor HaMidbar. We're talking about at the times where she was, the nation of Israel, was searching and wandering in the desert and finally was able to enter into the chambers of the king, to the chambers of Israel, and to build the Beis HaMikdash. She says, Anim Shalhu, Lamar Miyad Sheparshu Mimenu HaManhigim, when Moshe and Aaron and Miriam depart in the 40th year, then they find Yeshua, who brings them into the place where it is the land of Israel. That's what's being referred to over here. The second song is from Sukkim Vov to Yud Aleph and seems to have very little to deal with anything that's happened in the narrative up till now. It seems very strange. It starts with, there's four steps in this song, Psukim Vav to Yud Aleph. The first step is Pasuk Vav, where there's a question. Who is this who seems to be appearing from the desert, in clouds, and seems to be decked down in all kinds of very beautiful spices? Who is this? Then it describes who it is. Hinei mitasa shli Shlomo, shishim giborim saviv lo migibori Yisrael. It's the bed of Shlomo, which is surrounded by all these warriors. All of them are holding their swords. Kulam achuzei cherev lumdei milchama ishchal bar yirachor mipachad balelos. They each keep their weapons by them for fear at nights. That's the second part. Then there's a description of the apirion. Apirion is literally translated as a palanquin, which is literally a carrying litter for a special passenger, you know, where people would carry royalty in them. So this is the apirion that is made for Shlomo. And then the last section is to describe how there's a call to the daughters of Israel, Tzenu re'eno b'nois Yitzion b'melech, by Shlomo, b'atarashi itra lo imoy. Take a look at the beautiful crown that he wears on the day of his wedding, or the crown that his mother gave him. Very, very strange description. It sounds like we're talking about the wedding of Shlomo Melech. What is this supposed to mean? So it could be referring to actually a description of literally the wedding day of Shlomo. This is a huge event. The king of Israel is getting married, and there's a description of the royalty which is accompanying this. It could also be that event brought with it songs, liturgy, ideas, which then overflow to other realms of life. And it could be that Tzenu re'eno b'nos Tzion, that the daughters of Zion go out and they reacquaint themselves with this experience through the songs of this experience, which could be, this is what's being described. But in terms of historically, what is this referring to? What specific events is this song referring to? So it could reflect the historical union of Israel and Hashem. So again, Shlomo, as Rashi has explained in Shir HaShirim, generally refers to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So when it describes the power and the magnitude of the day of his wedding, it's referring to his wedding with the nation of Israel. Thereby, it would follow that this is a direct continuation of the previous idea. The first song in this parak was describing how the Raya dreams of reconnecting and finding her beloved. Once she does, she grabs hold of him, brings him to the Cheder Horasi, and to her birthing room, and now it describes the wedding. Now it's describing the wedding of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the nation of Israel. This is what the Mishnah in Tanis on Chof Vav Amud Beis tells us. The Mishnah says, what is this referring to? What event is this? It says, B'yom Sichal Esliboy, B'yom Chasunosai, B'yom Chasunosai, on the day of the wedding, Zematan Torah. It refers to the day of Sinai, giving the Torah. Yom Simchas Liboy, the day of the happiness of his heart, Ze Binyan Beis HaMikdash. Shibane Bimher V'Yomenu, it refers to the day of the building of the Beis HaMikdash. So the consummation of the marriage is through these very tangible expressions. Sinai and Mikdash are being referred to over here. It could be then that the Giborim, those strong ones who surround the bed, are referring to the Kohanim who serve in the Beis HaMikdash, and the Apirion, this carrying chamber, could be the sanctuary which has been described, the temple, the Beis HaMikdash. In terms of the drash, just one other alternative perspective here. We've noticed beforehand that the Malbim views Shir HaShirim quite differently. He views it as the three-way conversation between the Dod, the Raya, and Shlomo. The Dod is Hashem, the Raya is the soul, and Shlomo is the body or physical awareness. And Shlomo has incarcerated the Raya, the soul. But at this point in time, our parak is describing how the soul breaks free and is able to reunite with the Dod, with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, with its spiritual foundation, its quarry. And the question that is being raised at the second half of this parak is, how was it that the soul escaped the gods? How was it that the soul managed to escape and get out of the clutches of Shlomo, of the bodily awareness? And it is that question which is being asked over here and describing the power of Shlomo Melech. In an alternative drash, just something worthwhile understanding, a very, I would say, sobering drash, which is brought in the Gemara in Sanhedrin on Dav Chofon Beis, it describes the power that Shlomo Melech wielded and describes how he was a king over the whole known region. If you read Melachim Aleph, you know, Peprokim Ches Tes Yud Yud Aleph, it's a very powerful description of Shlomo Melech's rule. And then it describes the end of that. The Gemara says, you know, at the end of his life, Ulevasof leMolach El Al Yisrael, his power receded not to all of the world, but to Israel. Quoting, Koheles Ani Koheles Yisrael Melech Al Yisrael, Ulevasof leMolach El Al Yerushalayim, and then that receded even to Jerusalem, as it describes in Koheles Divrei Koheles Ben David Melech Yerushalayim, Ulevasof leMolach El Al Mitasoy. In the end, Shlomo Melech, his power only was over the jurisdiction of his bed. Shinemar, as it says, Hinemi Tasai Shli Shlomo, Sheli Shlomo. This is referring to the bed of Shlomo Melech that he was in charge of. And finally, in the end of the day, quoting another pasuk in Qoheles, it says he was only in charge of Makloi, his own cane. There's a certain element of soberness when you think about that, the power that receded in Shlomo Melech's life. But I think there's something else which is being said in this Gemara. It's not describing the limiting of his power, but perhaps where real change can be affected. Sometimes people are born in the beginning of their lives and they think they can change the whole world. And slowly but surely and maturely over time, they realize that the real change they can only impact is very much only within their own selves. Even their bed, which is the second from last, refers to their family, perhaps, that they think they can influence. Ultimately, even their family, they can't fully influence. It is only their own cane, their own life themselves, which are in charge of influencing. So far be it from being a description of power and grandeur, this is a picture of humility and recession of power as well. And perhaps not just recession, but the containment of where one's responsibility lies. Words to think about. This concludes Perek Gimel. We'll continue next time. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.